Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'll pick in tonight's draft. First round of the draft. And who knows? Washington may select twice tonight in the first round. I think there is reason to believe that with all of that draft capital, a move into the late portion of the first round is a decent bet. We'll see. We will have it all here on the Team 980. Tonight, it's Grant and Danny from 106.7 The Fan hosting our coverage. Tomorrow night, Denton and yours truly. And then Linnell will follow late night tomorrow night. And then on Saturday, Denton will spearhead the coverage as well. Every pick from the 2024 NFL Draft, every Washington pick right here on the Team 980. Craig Hoffman is in Detroit where he will do his show today. He's going to join us at 10:35. Joe Theismann will be on with us at 11. We have not talked to Joe in a while and have not had the conversation with Joe about the quarterback that he would like them to pick tonight. So we will have that conversation with Joe at 11 a.m. Ben Standig submitted his final mock draft to the Huddle Report. Ben is a three-time mock draft champion. Ben will be on with us at 12. And I'm going to play back about 5 or 6 minutes of my interview with Ralph Vacchiano yesterday. He was on my podcast. Ralph has been covering the NFC East for a while now and had some interesting information as it related to last week's activities for the top 30 visits. That's not the part I'm going to play back. I'm going to play back the part in which he's convinced Washington will take Jaden Daniels. You'll hear that at some point probably in this first hour of the show. We're going to take calls today as well. Who do you want them to take and why? And is there a player they could that they could take tonight that would be a disappointment for you? Keeping it simple today, for the most part. We are finally here. So, as those of you who listen regularly already know, I'm a Jaden Daniels guy. There will be no mistaking my position 5-6 years down the road, and who knows, he may not even be with Washington if they take him tonight, or maybe not even in the league. Who knows? But there will be no mistaking my personal view. I love Jaden Daniels. He was the best and most versatile college quarterback I have watched in a long, long time. Denton and I thought and talked about him all season long, going back to September and October as his season rolled along. His 2023 season is up there among the greatest college quarterback seasons of all time. Not an exaggeration. In recent memory for me, I actually think, believe it or not, his potential teammate here in Washington, Marcus Mariota, was an absolute sensational college quarterback at Oregon. His 2014 season statistically is very comparable to Daniel's season in 2023. Joe Burrow, a different style of quarterback, but his 2019 season, obviously, all-time great in terms of passing numbers. But the dual threat nature of Daniel's season stands out in a different way for me. Daniel's had to do so much more than Burrow and Mariota did to win, because his defense was so dreadful. But they still, in his two seasons at LSU, won 20 games and finished over two seasons 12-4 in the SEC. But if not for one of the worst Power 5 defenses in the country this year, I think LSU would have made the playoff. In their three losses this past season, they gave up 47.3 points per game. 47.3. Their defense was gross. I think it's fair to say that without Daniels, LSU would have been a five-win team. They would have been Florida from this year. Florida was also a team that struggled defensively, but they had Graham Mertz at quarterback in the swamp. They won five games. LSU won 10 games. Daniels had a lot around him. There's no debating that. He had two really good receivers, both of whom will be drafted. One of them in Malik Nabers, sure to go tonight, probably in the top 10. Brian Thomas Jr., also a decent bet to go tonight as well. Let's not forget, he also had a tight end in Mason Taylor, Jason Taylor's son, who will be drafted next year, maybe the top tight end in the 2025 draft. He had a couple of linemen that will likely get drafted next year, including their starting left tackle, who will probably be one of the first left tackles off the board in the 2025 draft. He had players around him, no doubt. And in many ways, because of that, I think we saw two facets of Daniels. We saw the playmaker, the best in the sport last year, the best maybe the sport has seen in a long time. And two, the distributor. Yeah, he was a really good distributor. One of the best in college football last year. I think it's important to note that he did both, which is exactly what you want in an NFL quarterback. You want the guy that can get the ball on time to the other playmakers on the team. And you want the guy that when the play breaks down, whether it's up front or because of coverage, he can go make everything right. I think he's the best and most efficient pocket passer in the draft. His mechanics are near flawless. There are plenty of examples of him throwing with anticipation, throwing into tight windows over the middle of the field. Maybe not as many as there are with some others. That's true, and you've seen that knock, the intermediate throws, the lack of them. But that's more because of lack of opportunity. The fewest third downs of any team in the country LSU had. The fewest. Many of those middle of the field intermediate throws come on third down. LSU faced the fewest third downs in the nation solely because they were so productive on first and second down. I think he fits into any type of offense. I don't think you have to create a dual threat attack, although it would be silly not to include design QB runs, read option style runs. Now, I would not be running quarterback power or quarterback counters like, you know, Lamar and Cam Newton have done in recent years. But I would bet that his biggest runs actually come off schedule on called pass plays as a scrambler when the play breaks down. People, he can throw it. Maybe not with the same arm strength as May or even McCarthy, but he's just fine in terms of that. There are advanced numbers that have scared some people about him, pressure to sack percentage, the intermediate throws we talked about. I've gone through some of that. He's not a sitting duck under pressure by any stretch. He's not a croucher. He's not a ducker. He's not a move eyes off the field and towards where the pressure is coming kind of a guy. He's a guy who's looking to make a play, and at the college level, in part because his team couldn't afford to punt the ball away, He took some sacks trying to make plays. But his yards lost per sack, the lowest of any of the quarterbacks we're talking about. And again, in terms of intermediate throws, there's enough on tape to see that he can do it. But again, they didn't have a lot of third downs and intermediate. You know, there wasn't a lot of third and intermediate for LSU last year. I do have some concerns. I've expressed them before. His frame and his decision-making as a runner in the open field, I think, are totally worthy of being concerned about. He'll take enough hits in the pocket as an NFL passer. We all know that. He doesn't need to expose himself in the open field to NFL-style defenders looking to take his head off. His decision-making is going to have to improve. But again, part of the issue with LSU last year, they had to score on every drive if they were going to win the game against the better teams on their schedule. He's, you know, nearly 6'4", 210, but he looks skinny up top. There is no doubt. He looked that way to me, and I think many of you, when he was playing college football in that LSU uniform. The other concern is really not a concern as much as it is a mystery. I don't know anything about him personally. There are no real red flags. You know, there haven't been any real red flags about him. We've had people on the show that have said the best things about leadership, work ethic, etc. I have noticed something that I bet many of you have noticed as well. He's quiet. He's introverted. I've watched a ton of his interviews over the last 2 years. The post-game interviews, the locker room, you know, game ball speeches. He's not a vocal leader, that's for sure. But does it matter? Is it an indication of anything that would be a problem? That's not for us to figure out. That's for Adam Peters and company to figure out. You know, that was for Mike Shanahan and Bruce Allen and company to figure out about RG3 before they took him at number 2 overall. That was for, you know, Kyle Smith and Jay Gruden, but not really because Dan made the pick, on, you know, God rest his soul, Dwayne Haskins before they picked him. That's what they needed to figure out about Chase Young before they picked him. Look, there's some PTSD here going on with number 2 picks. Let's hope that number 2 tonight is Chris Samuels. And not, wait, was Samuels 3 or 2? I forget now. Arrington or Samuels? I always get that confused. But anyway, you get the point. There is a part of this that we don't know, but of course is so, so important. Daniels is my guy. I won't have any issue at all if they take May. But I just wasn't in real time as a college football fan watching UNC. And I haven't been in watching more of May after the season anywhere near as impressed with May as I am with Daniels, just how I've seen it. I see what those who love May see in him. I do. He's a big, strong, strapping athlete. He can really throw it. And I think with the right coaching staff, the right supporting cast, he'll ultimately, you know, have a chance. Those kinds of things will determine his NFL fate. The same can be said for all of these guys. But with May, he's got some legitimate pocket mechanic flaws that have to be coached up. You know, every true expert has talked about May's mechanic flaws. Footwork in particular, that leads to inaccuracy, that leads to easy misses. He's got, for me, too many bad decisions, too many bad throws on tape to think that there isn't some big-time improvement needed before he succeeds in the NFL. But, like Daniels, May's athleticism and playmaking ability is going to give him a chance to, for me, to have a higher floor. I mean, I think the true creators, the true athletes at the position, the true playmakers at the position will create enough moments, even if they've got flaws, to keep you working with them on their flaws. May's a tremendous athlete. I think the I loved Merrill Hodges' appearance on our show, which was probably a month ago at this point. I think he's a really sharp evaluator, and I think we got him to back off a little bit on the athleticism, but I thought that that was by far and away one of the descriptions of any of these quarterbacks that really didn't make sense to me, and that was he didn't see May as athletic. I see May as very athletic. I see May as an all-around tremendous athlete. And you can see that in that he was a tremendous basketball player. He does everything well. J.J. McCarthy, I don't get it, but that doesn't mean anything, all right? It's in part because I didn't get to see it. You know, it's hard for me to come off that Penn State game. It's hard for me to understand in a one-score game, in the biggest game at that point in the season, on the road in Happy Valley, how you would face multiple third downs to stay on the field and you wouldn't let your quarterback throw the ball one time. Not once. I really like Penix Jr. I understand the risk and it would have to be a medical, you know, team evaluation. I will be very surprised if he doesn't get picked in the first round tonight, and I'll be surprised if he's not picked in the top half of the first round. He just threw it too well. He was just too smooth. He and Daniels were so poised. Daniels more so than anybody else. I mean, he is definitely a dude that does not seem to feel much pressure. I thought Penix Jr. was outstanding until the championship game where they faced the best defense. And look, that was one of the reasons that Jim Harbaugh decided, hey, we don't need to throw the ball at Happy Valley. Our defense is dominant. They had a freshman quarterback who wasn't very good, and they weren't going to turn the ball over. They weren't going to put anything at risk. But when you've got, according to Jim Harbaugh, the best who's ever done it among all the Michigan men in Ann Arbor history, and you don't have him throw the ball one time, in the biggest game of the year at that point, that would, I'd certainly, as a GM, I'd be talking to Jim Harbaugh about why on some of those third downs when they punted, didn't they let J.J. McCarthy go back and throw the football? Look, overall, I know what the odds favor. You know, the odds favor that the pick tonight won't be the long-term answer. But it's also true that the best chance to find the long-term answer is in the draft and early in the draft. So they've got to make that pick tonight. They've got to make a quarterback selection. So here we go. Looking forward to hearing what Joe Theismann says. We, of course, will talk to Ben. Craig Hoffman's going to join us shortly, but let's get to a what do you got.
All right.
What do you got?
Darryl Green's number 28 will be retired this fall. 20 years, 7 Pro Bowls, 2 Super Bowl rings, a Hall of Fame gold jacket. Washington continuing the trend that it started with Bobby Mitchell a few years ago and then continued with Sean Taylor and then Sonny Jurgensen last year, retiring numbers. This is a no-brainer. That Darryl Green's jersey be retired. I've given you my list before in terms of the jersey numbers that I think should be retired. 9, 28, 33, Sammy Baugh. 42, Charlie Taylor, not retired yet. 44, John Riggins, not retired yet. 49, Bobby Mitchell, retired. And 81, Art Monk. Those are, for me, the 7 jerseys in franchise history that are not debatable. Those 7 should be retired. Now, the order, I'm glad they got Sonny done. Sonny is obviously the oldest of those players that are still living. I'm totally fine with Darryl Green being next. I'm sad that Charlie Taylor's hasn't been retired yet. I think they've got to get Riggo's done next year. Riggo's jersey should be the one that is retired next year. You know, the debatable list, I've gone through this before, 7 Theismann, 21 Sean Taylor, which has been retired, 27 Ken Houston, 43 Larry Brown, 55 Chris Hamburger, 66 Jacoby, 68 Grimm, and 70 Huff. Those are the eight jerseys that I would call and put into the category of debatable in terms of retired jerseys in franchise history. And then there are another eight that I would say are just outside of the truly debatable list. 17, Doug Williams, 30, Brian Mitchell, 37, Pat Fisher, 51, Monty Coleman, 65, Dave Butt, 72, Dexter Manley, 84, Gary Clark, and 87, Jerry Smith. But we can debate the debatables. We can debate the just miss the debatable list after Darryl Greens goes in, Charlie Taylor, Riggo, and Art Monk. That would complete, to me, the seven that have to be retired before anybody else's. Sean Taylor's always been that, you know, very unique circumstance because of, obviously, how the career and his life ended very tragically. But Darryl Green, my God, what a player. 20 years with one team. It started on a Monday night in 1983 as the defending champions opening up on Monday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys, and Tony Dorsett took off, and Darryl Green, out of nowhere, in his first game, ran him down from behind. Later that season, he ran down Eric Dickerson. Later in that season, he picked off a pass in a playoff game and returned it for a touchdown. A few years later came, for me, I think his signature moment, and that was in a playoff game at Soldier Field. And the Bears were, you know, a juggernaut team, and this game was back and forth. And Washington ended up winning the game because of Darryl Green's punt return late in the third quarter, where he pulled the rib muscle on the return. One of the iconic plays in franchise history. They would go on the next week, beat Minnesota in the NFC Championship game, and then go on to win another Super Bowl, beating Denver out in San Diego. Darryl Green, if he had been given more opportunities to be a punt returner, would have been one of the greatest punt returners in the history of the NFL. But Joe Gibbs did not. Richie Pettibone did not want to put him back there unless it was one of those situations in where they had to have a play in a big game. I think you saw him back there for the first time, and Darryl would know this, but I think the first time we saw Darryl back on a punt return was in his rookie year in the NFC Championship game against the 49ers. They had him back there, and I think he took a lateral pass and had a big return, but I think it was called back, if my memory serves me correctly. He may have been back there at some other point during that 83 season. That 83 season was so exciting. One of the great regular seasons in franchise history. They just didn't finish it off in the Super Bowl because they ran into the Raiders. Congrats to Darryl Green, one of the franchise's greatest players. I mean, truly, truly a Mount Rushmore caliber player in franchise history. One of the greatest corners to ever play in NFL history. And I bet you, even today, Darryl Green could probably, in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt, run 4-4. Maybe better. Congrats to him. We look forward to this fall during a home game where Darryl Green's jersey is retired. Look, last year, remember, they handled the sunny day perfectly. They did everything well. So we are now a couple of years removed from the botching of the Sean Taylor retirement weekend and day. I'm sure they will do this one right. Good job by the team. I think personally, I think it's Riggo or Charlie Taylor that's next. One of those two should be next. And then you can wait, you know, to get Art done. So you've got, you know, if you, with Darryl Green done, you've now got four of the seven that I think should be retired. So you can go Charlie Taylor next year, Riggins the year after that, and Art the year after that. And to me, that would cover the no debaters in franchise history. All right, when we come back, Ralph Vacchiano from Fox Sports, he's been actually doing some actual reporting with sources say. You'll hear what he said about Washington and who they'll take tonight. Also, where he thinks the Giants in the division might be looking. We'll give you guys a chance later on in the show to weigh in. Craig Hoffman coming up in about 15 minutes live from Detroit. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Got a Twitter poll up. You can access it at Kevin Sheehan DC. Who do you want them to take? Daniels, May, and McCarthy are the choices. 1,200 votes in so far. 56.5% Daniels, 32.7% May, 10.7% J.J. McCarthy. By the way, Washington did not pick up, or they are not going to pick up, the fifth-year option on Jamin Davis. Several people locally, including Ben, reported that this morning. That's not a surprise. I think we talked about that a month ago. He's going to have to prove it to them, especially given some of the off-the-field issues he has had. So Ralph Vacchiano is an NFC East reporter for Fox Sports. We've referenced some of his reporting over the last week and a half. I had him on last night, and we talked a little bit about the flap last week regarding the top 30 visits. I'm not going to play that back for you. He said essentially what he reported, which is Adam Peters and the agent for Jaden Daniels talked and all has been settled. But he feels very strongly that Daniels, he's not the only one, will be picked tonight. And I asked him why he feels that way. Here's what he said.
Well, I have to be honest. Up until a few weeks ago, I wasn't at all. I really thought that they were undecided. I'm not sure I ever bought the noise about J.J. McCarthy. I think that there was a good reason to think that it was going to be Drake May, the North Carolina quarterback. I think they like him a lot, and I think they gave him serious consideration. But I can tell you that literally everyone I talk to around the NFL tells me it's going to be Daniels and tells me that Daniels is clear-cut the number two quarterback prospect in this draft. I guess after I get told that enough, I start to believe it. I'd be lying if I told you that I've been told that by Adam Peters or Dan Quinn or somebody who would know for sure in Washington. I don't think that part has leaked out yet. I don't think, sometimes you get it from the other side, but to my knowledge, Daniels and his agent do not know that for sure yet. So I think, you might hear a little more solid reporting on that in the next 24 hours or so leading up to the draft. But right now, the world is convinced it's going to be Daniels. The world's convinced that that's the right choice. And you know, that's what sort of got me on board. He's a good, explosive prospect with very few knocks on him. And, you can make a case either way for him or Drake May. And, this just seems to be everybody's preference.
It's funny because yesterday and maybe even the day before, to a certain extent, some of that J.J. McCarthy buzz and he's flying up the boards and maybe Washington sees in him Brock Purdy or Kirk Cousins. But you're not buying that at all.
No, I'm not. And, you know, I got to admit, I don't understand the whole J.J. McCarthy fascination. It has been
me neither.
Wild, wild ride. You know, if you go back to the end of the college football season, even heading into the college football playoffs, you would have had a hard time finding someone tell you he's a first rounder. And then, you know, not long after the college football championship, Jim Harbaugh said, don't be surprised if he's the first quarterback off the board, which stunned everybody. And then all of a sudden you asked around like, well, yeah, he is a first round prospect. And yeah, he could be top 15. And before long, it's maybe even the Commanders at two or, you know, the Patriots at three. And now, as it gets closer to the draft, I have people telling me, you know, the Vikings like him and they were trying to trade up for him, but now they might just sit tight at 11 and take him there. So it's really, his ride has been all over the map. And I, you know, pretty much nothing would surprise me, but I don't think anybody thinks he's the second best prospect in the draft. And it's possible, could the Commanders surprise everyone and do that? Yeah. You know, Adam Peters was in San Francisco when they surprised everybody and took Trey Lance, when nobody thought that was the guy they were going to take. Where they think they traded up to two or three to get him, whatever it was.
Three, yeah.
I guess there could be a surprise. I can never rule that out, but I think it would shock just about everybody in the NFL at this point if that was their choice.
You've been covering the NFC East for a while, and you said as it relates to Jaden Daniels that you'd be lying if you said that it was coming directly from the organization. This is a completely different organization than the one that was here before this regime, isn't it?
Yes, throughout. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I know a lot of people have said, well, you know, in the old regime, you know, they had a lot more leaks. And that's probably true. Of course, the old regime was around for a little while. And, you know, this is new. Reporters are still getting to know the people in the organization, so they might not even know yet who to get good information from. You know, they're professionals. There were some big problems in the organization before. It was not ever, even before I was covering the NFC East, when I was just covering the Giants, really wasn't that hard to find people who would tell you what Washington was planning on doing. It's definitely not as easy as it was in the past. And, you know, it's not hard because they're picking two. There aren't a lot of options at two. So it's not really a ton of mystery, but you know, they're just handling it in a different way. And some of it's good. Some of it's very professional. Some of it is a little weird. Like the group visit of quarterbacks, you know, certainly got the attention of some people around the league for being different, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. It's just a different way of doing things. We all have to get used to that. It's definitely not the same old Commanders anymore.
All right. I want to switch subjects, but I want to stay in the division, Ralph. Are you thinking the Giants are going to take a quarterback here early in the first round, whether it's at six or a trade up?
I actually am not. I believe that they would like to take a quarterback. They would, and I think Drake May is the guy they would like. I think if he gets presumably past the Commanders to three, and if the Patriots are really willing to trade, the Giants will try to trade up for him. If the Patriots were to take, say, J.J. McCarthy and Drake May falls to four, I think the Giants would try to trade up for him there. Just sitting at six, though, assuming that they can't pull off a trade, which I'm very skeptical of them being able to do, I think they would probably decide to take a receiver and, you know, basically give Daniel Jones another year. You know, they're split in the organization. There are people in there that think we got to move on from Daniel Jones. We got to take a new quarterback. And there are people that think we've never really given him a chance with, you know, the receivers and the offensive line around us. We've got to build a better team. It's really, I don't know that it's 50-50, but it's enough of a split where they're really thinking about it hard. And you add in a trade up, might be too expensive for them. You know, if the right quarterback falls to six, sure, then they might do it. But I don't think one of the quarterbacks that they want is going to get that far.
Penix Jr.,
okay.
Does he get picked in the first round? And if so, where?
Boy, that's a good question. He has what scouts have told me is top 10 ability. But he has a very, very long injury history that you have to be really wary of. I do think he will go in the first round. I think one of the reasons for that is You know, when you have a young quarterback, it's advantageous to get in the first round, to get a guy in the first round. You want to take advantage of the rookie salary at that position, but you also want to make sure that you have him for the extra year, which you get from a first-round pick. You get that extra year on his contract if you draft in the first round as opposed to the second round. Where he could go is a good question. I think, you know, the Minnesota, you look at the teams that are looking for quarterbacks. The Minnesota Vikings, 11 might seem a little high, but they also have the 23rd pick. I could see them doing that there. You get desperate when you need a quarterback, so sometimes you jump ahead. Maybe the Las Vegas Raiders at 13 might be interested. There's the Seattle Seahawks at 16. It might be a long shot. I've heard the Rams, of all teams, really like him. They're at 19. I don't know that they would take him in the first round, but that's certainly a team to watch. So any of those teams have, you know, to me, it's a chance because, again, I don't think they want to wait till the second round if you need a quarterback. And I do think people believe in his ability. It all just depends on what their doctors told him about his medical checkup.
That was Ralph Vacchiano from Fox Sports, just sharing some of the information he had, especially about Daniels to Washington. All right, Craig Hoffman is in Detroit, where the draft will be held tonight. He will be our guest next. Joe Theismann after that.
Last night in Major League Baseball, Nationals lose to the Dodgers 11-2. Shohei Ohtani went 3-6 for the Dodgers with three doubles. They finish off their series this afternoon. You can hear that on 106.7 The Fan. No Caps today. They're in action tomorrow for Game 3 against the Rangers at 7. That's right here in D.C. You'll be able to hear that on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. In the NBA last night, Miami stuns Boston 111-101 to even the series. Tyler Hero at 24 for Miami to outduel Jaylen Brown in his 33. In the Western Conference, OKC dominated New Orleans 124-92 to take a 2-0 lead in that one. It was announced today Washington is declining the fifth-year option for linebacker Jamin Davis. Also announced, they are retiring Daryl Green's number 28. And that's what's trending.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Tonight in Motown, the Motor City, the draft. Craig Hoffman's going to do a show there. He will be on after Chris is done at 4 p.m. live from Detroit. And he will be, I'm sure, a part of the draft shows tonight and tomorrow night, or forever, how long he's going to stay there. all right, so we haven't talked in a few weeks. Where are you at number two right now? They're on the clock. You've got to make the pick. Who is it?
If I'm making the pick, I'm probably, oh, my God. I'm so torn between McCarthy and Daniels. And if I get to just make the pick and do what I think I would do, I would go McCarthy, and it's the slightest of leans. I think when you're building an organization in the model that they are, where they're so focused on people, and the reason why it's so hard is because Daniels is like an A-plus character guy, as is Daniels, or as is McCarthy. But with JJ, the stuff you hear about his leadership and the way he's able to rally people and get the most out of them and his track record of winning and all of that stuff, not to mention he's a damn good quarterback. I think all of that would push me slightly towards McCarthy. I'm also just really comfortable with his tape. Yeah, there are some things to be cleaned up, but I think those answers to the questions I have about him are pretty easy. You get him some more experience, some more coaching. He's not going to turn 22 till after next season. And I feel really good about who he is as a prospect, and I feel absolutely incredible about who he is as a person. I also realize they're going to take Jaden Daniels more than likely, and I could say basically all the same things about Jaden as well. So there's a couple of things with Jaden that maybe give me a little bit more pause, and we can talk about those if you want, but that's what I would do. I have the slightest lean towards McCarthy with then Daniels, then May.
All right, we'll come back to Daniels. What is it about McCarthy beyond the intangibles that convinces you?
Well, I mean, the intangibles are the first thing, and I think we've seen over the course of NFL history, like, those are really important to the position, and sometimes we underrate how much the leadership and all that kind of stuff matters, you know, and so I think that from that standpoint, like, the intelligence and the work ethic and all that stuff goes into becoming a better player on top of the leadership and stuff. He also has a really, really, really strong arm. He was the second hardest thrower at the combine. Obviously, May and Williams didn't throw. I don't think Daniels did either, even in, like, the throw the ball into the pad thing. But, like, the only dude who threw harder than McCarthy of the group that did throw was Joe Milton, who has, like one of the greatest arms just in terms of pure arm strength that we've ever seen. He threw at 62 miles an hour, and that shows up on tape. This dude consistently fits balls in a tight windows. He played in an NFL offense. We know he can be coached hard because he played for Harbaugh at Michigan. And his ability to read defenses, layer throws, and it's not consistent. I mean, and that is one of the things with him. Like, can you layer throws and kind of have that touch a little bit more consistently? I'd like to see more touch on the deep ball, but those are things that you need reps at, and he just doesn't have the reps. But he's shown improvement. So it tells me that when he gets more reps, he will continue to improve at them. And so the ability to read a defense at an NFL level with NFL style reads and execute the throws, not to mention the mobility. He's 4.5 fast. He shows a good ability on design quarterback runs to have that be a part of your offense and to be productive with it. So I think all that stuff is why I like JJ's tape. And there's also, like, I will admit some bias here. I've grown up doing this in my career, studying West Coast offense, like, from the time I got here in McVay and then O'Connell's version and all that kind of stuff. And he just looks like the quarterbacks that I'm used to being good. And so it takes a little more imagination to look at May or Daniels and be like, yes, I see that working in the NFL, where I know the tape is short, but if you flip it on, McCarthy looks like the NFL quarterbacks that I've seen do well.
It's funny. I actually think Daniels would be a perfect fit for the offense that, you know, we've all become accustomed to as NFL fans, and certainly from around here going back a few years ago. I think he'd be perfect for the Shanahan-style offense. We're talking to Craig Hoffman. He's joining us here via our BetQL guest hotline. He's in Detroit. First of all, real quickly, what's the scene like there? Are Detroit football fans going to turn out in a big way?
I would imagine, to be honest, Kevin, I landed about an hour and a half ago. I will say that my flight had a bunch of different jerseys on it. Certainly a lot of Commanders fans coming from D.C. To Detroit. The airport's all done up nice. You got draft stuff everywhere. It certainly feels, you know, I had Tirico on the show earlier this week, who's actually like a part of the committee that helped bring the draft to Detroit. He like sits on the board, and he was telling me that the city's really turned out in a great way. So I'm expecting after I hang up with you here, when I go downtown, it to be a madhouse, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But if the flight's any indication, then yes is the answer to your question. But I have not seen anything but the airport and the inside of the hotel that I checked into.
So back to McCarthy, as we talked to Craig Hoffman from Detroit. He definitely has the arm strength. There's no doubt about it. Does it concern you that they never really relied on him? They did in the Alabama final drive, but that it was a run first many times against a very heavy loaded box all season long, and that we didn't get to see more of him in situations that may have called for it.
worry, like, that's the question, right? I don't know if worry is the word I would use, though, because I've had many people ask me this question, and my response, the snarky version is, well, like, what did you want them to do? They won the national championship. So, like, that was a strategic decision by Harbaugh and company of risk mitigation, because they knew they could run the football, play defense, and beat everyone in their path. And the evidence that that was a good decision was it worked. Was it the best thing for McCarthy's draft stock? No, but there was no better strategy they could have had. He lost like one game his entire career in Michigan. Like that was a good plan. Had they been able to, or had they asked more of him, I think he would have delivered. And my evidence for that would be when they asked him to deliver, he delivered. His third down numbers are fantastic. His red zone stuff is really good. And so there were moments, and you know, I think this is like a really interesting data point. I don't know entirely what to do with it, but there were times that he hadn't thrown a pass in real time in like 30 minutes.
No, I think it was longer than that in the Penn State game.
Yeah, so like there's games where it's like, when was the last time this dude had to throw? I don't know, an hour ago? And all of a sudden it's third and seven, and they need him to dart one, and he did it. And so the ability to be relied upon when called upon, even if it's a low volume called upon, gives me faith that ultimately he could do it. I think the other thing too, though, Kevin, is like, if I'm drafting JJ McCarthy, especially early in his career, I don't want him to have to do a lot. I want to be able to allow him to build into his career. I'm not saying he's going to be Tom Brady, but like Tom Brady did, right? Like Brady got the benefit of playing with a great defense and a great run game, and they were able to win early without Brady having to do a whole lot other than answer the call when called upon in massive situations, and he did. And then as you move towards like the 07 record-breaking season, he becomes Tom freaking Brady. And I don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to become Tom Brady, but I want that same ramp of trajectory for J.J. And by the way, like, I'd want that for Jaden Daniels and Drake May and basically any young quarterback as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of what you say is right. I think there's always the, you know, the question of risk mitigation versus avoidance. And I'm not suggesting that it was avoidance, because there's no reason to believe that. In fact, even in the Penn State game, which I've cited many times, I mean, multiple third downs where they just decided it would be better to punt. Drew Aller on the other side just wasn't going to move Penn State 85 yards. So field position, not allowing or choosing not to have J.J. McCarthy throw on multiple third downs to keep the ball. And by the way, there were chances with Michigan's run game that they could pick it up running the football on third and 10 or third and 9. And I'm not suggesting that that was avoidance. It's just unusual, especially in college football. But the way Michigan approached offensive college football was unusual for the game. But those are the things that you didn't see. But there are reasons for not seeing them. I understand that. Back to the what you've seen and where he is being sort of compared, right? Brock Purdy, Kirk Cousins, the perfect style. Like if Kyle were picking, this would be his kind of a pick, etc. That's fair. And I don't know that I know enough to say that he can't become one of those really solid Shanahan, for the lack of a better description, game-managing quarterbacks. But do you pick that guy at 2 overall?
Well, I guess my counter to that would be there was a guy once upon a time named Alex Smith who went 1 overall. That is, I would say, the most similar potentially to a J.J. McCarthy.
Just he didn't play football that way at Utah, though, with Urban Meyer. It was different.
Sure, but like the intangibles, the mobility, the fact that you can do design quarterback run, you know, the arm strength being, you know, it was good enough that Alex went 1 overall. And so, like, if you tell me that you're going to get Alex Smith, would you want that at 2 overall? And that actually is, like, a very interesting philosophical question that
no,
we can probably
the answer is I wouldn't, as much, and you know how much I love Kirk Cousins, I would never,
right,
if that's what I knew I was going to get,
Alex
take
is
Kirk
better
Cousins
than,
at number 2.
Alex at his peak was better than Kirk and had much more success in terms of winning and playoff
had more success winning. Yeah, but was I think it's debatable as to at his peak whether or not he was much better. But
sure, but like,
but
if I tell you you're going to get a
completely different
of those
college
two.
Career and a different college offense, you saw a lot of Alex Smith, you know, with Utah during those early 2000 years.
It's also a different era of football.
Yeah,
though.
Of course.
Like, would Alex in a modern Kevin O'Connell, like, you give 20, I don't know what the year, 20. 2012, 2013, whatever, you know, pick your best Alex Smith year and put him in a modern Kevin O'Connell offense or a modern Kyle Shanahan offense. I'm like, what does that dude look like? And so it's like some combination of Cousins, Alex Smith. Like, he's in that mold. And could, does he have the physical tools to be better than all of them? Frankly, yes, he does. But like,
more
what makes those
probably.
Guys? Yeah, but like, what makes those guys great is the mental stuff, how quickly they process it. And that's the thing with JJ is, can he be like the processor and the ball distributor and the point guard that the Kirks, the Alexes, the guys that win that way, that Brock Purdy just took San Francisco to a Super Bowl with, can he be that? I think he can be. I think he can be a really great version of it, and a really great version of it is a quarterback you can win a Super Bowl with in the NFL if you surround him with the right pieces. He doesn't have the upside of, like, Drake, or I would say he doesn't have the upside of Jaden either, which is probably why Washington is leaning that way, and I think that's a totally defensible position. And sometimes when I say that sentence out loud, I'm like, I'm an idiot. Just take Jaden Daniels. That's the right pick. And that's how close it is. And it's just a matter of, like, are you okay? It's like, upside, downside, what's the likelihood they get there? How stupid am I going to feel if I'm wrong because Jaden Daniels doesn't last from a durability standpoint? How stupid am I going to feel if I'm wrong because Drake May turns out to be awesome because he reaches his potential? Like, how validated am I going to feel if I'm right about the guy that I get? Like, at the end of the day,
you're
as
too
Adam
concerned
is
about
saying,
validation being right or wrong in what will be more likely than not an exercise that produces failure, as
100%.
It will for all
but
of these teams.
Here's the thing real quick, Kevin. Yeah. I know you got to run because you got Theismann next, but as Adam Peters opened his press conference saying, it's people picking people. And at the end of the day, that is something to keep in mind here.
Yeah.
It's people picking people, and that is going to cause all these different opinions and all the different reasons why the people have different opinions. And there are actual consequences for Adam Peters, unlike the rest of us who just get to judge what those consequences are for the next bunch of years.
Yeah, but to be fair, he's got a lot more information. No matter
that
how
is also
hard you
true.
Study it, he's got a lot more information than any of us ever will. Enjoy it. Appreciate you jumping on.
You got it, man. See ya.
Craig Hoffman, everybody. Up next, Joe Theismann will be our guest. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.